BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard many programs on Crosstalk dealing with the topic of Islam. You know the intended goal of Islam, to have a worldwide caliphate where every man, woman, and child will submit to Islam. We're aware of the dictates of the Quran to strike the necks of the infidels, the Christians and the Jews. You're not to take them as friends. But did you know that many Muslims are conflicted inside? Many recognize that the path they are on is actually hopeless and does not bring true joy, peace, love, or forgiveness. It's the kind of things they really long for in their lives. Did you know that as Islam seeks world dominance, that there are many Muslims who are coming to Christ, coming out of the darkness of Islam and to the light of the gospel? Today we want to share with you that God is at work. Further, our program today will help you in the area of witnessing to Muslims, and in order to protect the ministry and outreach of our guest today, we'll be utilizing an alias. Today we welcome Jakub Kurnetsov here to Crosstalk. Jakub has been actively involved as a missionary in evangelism for some 22 years, the last 14, in outreach to Muslims. Jakub, good to have you here with us on Crosstalk.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
So today we want to learn of your work, the impact of the gospel in the hearts of Muslims, and how to witness to those entrapped in Islamic darkness. But before we do that, tell us what caused you to have this desire to witness to Muslims.
All right. I had led a few Muslims to Christ, and that was a kind of an eye-opener to me, that they're not the unreachable people group. And I took a trip to Israel one day, and I got turned around in a bad neighborhood down at the end of Hezekiah's tunnel, and there were some kids kicking a soccer ball around. They came over by me, I kicked it back towards them, and the next thing I knew, I was being stoned. And left there, went back to my hotel room, and at that point, I sat back, and I was furious. I thought, you know what, this is so typical of the Muslim world. And as I was sitting there judging them in my own heart, I realized that they had never experienced the love of Jesus Christ. And the follow-up thought hit me that I had, and here I was lashing out in that same hatred. And that broke my heart. I fell to my knees that day and asked God to send me to the Muslim world.
And so you've been ministering for some time. Have you noticed, have you found your dependence upon God being critical for your life?
Yes, absolutely. Over the years I've watched, and especially from this end of the spectrum, I can see how God was stretching my faith in incredible ways, preparing me for this and my family. But to see God working in just an absolutely incredible ways of protection has increased that faith to the point where we realize that there's no fear.
No fear on your part any longer?
No fear. There's battles that pop up, but they have nothing to the strength that they had at the beginning.
What gives you confidence from God's word?
The fact that the Word of God is the power of God and the salvation, knowing that the Word of God is not going to return void, and then knowing the fact that God has given us the authority to go and commanded us to go, and that He is with us.
I know that's one of the stumbling blocks for many, is this aspect of fear, fearful to witness to one, especially who may be viciously opposed to Christianity.
Yeah, it... There's definitely been battles of fear throughout the years, but they don't hold the strength anymore.
Jakub, through the years, you've learned a lot about witnessing to Muslims. What are some of the critical matters that our listeners need to know about this? I mean, there are those who believe you should not use scripture because this might be offensive to a Muslim. What have you learned through the years about effective witnessing to Muslims?
Yeah, I never mess around with using the Quran. There's absolutely no reason to submit the strength of the Word of God and pick up a book of lies to try to present the truth. And so I refuse to engage in any kind of Chrislam or trying to use man's wisdom, because the Word of God is the power of God to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We found that really the same thing that brought you and I to Christ is the same thing that's going to bring a Muslim to Christ. When they see the love of God demonstrated to them, it becomes overwhelming, because there is no love in the society of Islam.
Describe that for us. What do you mean by showing them the love of God?
We show them the love of God on a lot of different levels, and even times where we don't realize that we're doing so. A lot of times it'll look like talking with them, taking time to get them involved or get involved in their life. We use holidays a lot in outreach.
Let's take that and break that down a little bit further. How do you use a holiday? Are you talking about holidays like Christmas, Easter, or are you talking about Islamic holidays?
Yeah, well, even Islamic holidays, we could take the Feast of Sacrifice. And when we... they have the Feast of Sacrifice, they're all involved in doing their sacrifices. So I love to take that holiday of theirs and say, hey, you've missed the entire picture here. You're celebrating Abraham trying to sacrifice his son, and yet you've forgotten or completely missed the idea that this was pointing towards the ultimate sacrifice of Christ that was coming.
So you utilize Islamic holidays, but talk about then about holidays that we would celebrate here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially living overseas, they want to know what makes Americans tick, what makes our society work, what are some of the things that that we enjoy. And so we use our holidays, and we'll set up a big Christmas event or, say, a Easter event. They have no idea what Easter is. They just figure that's some sort of a holiday about eggs. So as we're... as we're showing them that, no, this isn't about eggs. This is about Jesus Christ, who was truly crucified. He rose again. And so we show them some of the elements of that. We take a lot of American holidays and use as well.
So you're talking about this aspect of befriending them, showing the love of Christ. And so often we have the concept that we need to just stay away from these people. These are people in hijab, or these are people, and I've seen even attending the Milwaukee Zoo, where you've seen Muslims who have laid out their prayer rugs having their time of prayer at certain times. Would you suggest people go up and approach a Muslim in that regard?
I typically don't approach them like that. When they're engaged in their prayers, that's their time. At least that's how I approach it. There may be other people who do other things, but I'm looking for ways that I can, where shoulder can bump shoulder, where I can get them involved in my life to some degree, and I can be involved in theirs. Because when they start seeing a true Christian, it's probably the first time in their lives they've ever seen a true believer in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Their idea of a Christian is completely different from what a true believer is.
Jakob, how does one start a conversation with a Muslim to get on these spiritual things?
Yeah, that's different every time. It's just like here in the States, you're just talking to somebody, and inevitably, if you're looking for the chance, there's going to be a way to bring the gospel into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just have to be about utilizing these moments and praying for these divine appointments where we can engage in sharing the gospel. So it sometimes it's things as crazy as looking for a place where the lamb doesn't smell so bad. Just very easy things to make them talk. And then as you start talking, they'll be interested that, who are you? How come your accent's a little different? Or I'll ask them. Sometimes they're a Muslim from a region that I'm working in, but it's a different country, and I catch that accent, and so I can use that to open the door.
Mm-hmm. What are you able to share with our listeners about your specific ministry?
Good question. Our ministry is very multifaceted. I'm involved in Central Asia, and so pretty much any country that ends in Stan, we're involved in planting churches. We are involved in working in establishing leaders,
mm-hmm.
and helping to equip the national leaders to really evangelize their own people. we have a lot of camps coming up this summer as well.
And you also have had a very aggressive ministry in social media.
Oh, absolutely. I always forget that. that's one of those things that I do every day, especially here in the States. At least half of the day, I'm using social media platforms to share the gospel throughout that region of the world.
Mm-hmm. And in what way? Are you just visiting sites or putting something out there? How are you able to minister?
Yeah, pretty much I have several different platforms that I'm using, and at this point it's all just my own profiles because otherwise I end up getting blocked. And so I open up a profile, and it looks like I am one of the nationals. And I'm annoying. I just I try to befriend people on there so that they come and check out my site. Or I'll drop some sort of something to grab their interest. So every day I'm posting a picture with a portion of scripture to prick their interest. They see the picture and they say, "That's beautiful. I want to see what's written." And so they're reading the gospel. And from there, if they visit my site, I try to friend them almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. And so you find the use of scripture to be critical for your ministry.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, without that, what would we have to offer?
Yeah, the Word of God, certainly quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's the Word of God that has effect in that regard. One thing else I believe it's important for us to share is that I'd like you to address a matter of great concern, in that Muslim men will generate interest in non-Muslim women, including unmarried Christian gals, and relationships develop. Many times we see steps taken toward marriage with a Christian gal, convinced in her mind that this man who loves her seems to be very open to her faith and that she'll be able to win her future Muslim husband to Christ. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, it never happens. This is very, very dangerous. Domestic violence is 100% across the board in the Islamic world, and they're headed for absolute not just failure in the marriage, but quite literally may end up taking their life. Very, very difficult situations. So I'm always quick to point out that if you want to destroy your life, that's the road you're headed down on a very fast track.
It's that serious.
Oh, absolutely. We have kind of like a safe house where abused women and children will come and they'll show up and literally they are beaten to a pulp when they get there. And ladies who work at this center, they show the love of Christ, and we're seeing tremendous results. As at least 98% of the women and children that come to this center end up coming to Christ before they head home. We go to the other end of the spectrum and deal with the men, because until we get that under control, and there's no way to get that under control until that person comes to faith in Christ. But we're seeing a lot of families healed and seeing a lot of families put back together, and they're becoming pillars in the churches.
Amen. Well, we're going to talk about some of the results that our guest Jakob has seen in his ministry, the results that he has seen in lives being impacted, Muslims being impacted with the gospel message. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be back in just a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Creation Seminar Speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how many different types of animals did Noah take on board the ark?
Chris, detractors from the biblical flood story say that there were way too many animals to have fit on board the ark. But not so. Let's look carefully. First off, we need to recognize that most animals live in the ocean and would not have to be on board the ark. They would survive, at least in representative numbers, outside the ark. By the way, Noah didn't even have to take two of every species. The Bible says two of every kind, probably a broader category which might include a number of species, like the dog kind. Altogether, I suspect that there were probably less than 20,000 animals on board the ark. This was difficult for Noah, but not impossible. At least that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and our theme today, God at Work in the Islamic World. Yakup Kuznetsov is with us here today on Crosstalk. That's an alias in order to protect his ministry and outreach, but has been actively involved in reaching out to Muslims for the last 14 years, some 22 years in missionary evangelism work. And Yakov, I'd like to talk about some of the various responses that you've received. And in doing so, I think it's important to point out you've had some strong accolades for even the work that our military has done in paving the way for you to do what you're doing.
Well, absolutely. I think a lot of times we get wrapped up in the physical realm of the battles that are taking place on military levels, government levels, but we forget or neglect the spiritual battles that are going on behind the scenes. And it's just the tip of the iceberg is the physical that we see. And so when our soldiers went into Afghanistan, our soldiers literally blew the doors wide open for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm seeing Afghanis coming to Christ. I'm seeing them come on. In fact, they just maxed out one of my social media venues. So I have to open a second just to take all of the demand from them.
I'd like to, as we talk about some of the responses you've received, with your boldness, you have actually received many, many death threats. How did you respond when this happened?
Yeah, the first death threat I got was kind of a shock to me, and it shouldn't have been because I knew who I was working with. But over the years, I've grown to actually like these death threats because they've bared their soul. You know exactly where this person's at, what they want to do, and it gives me a great chance to just nail them with the gospel. Basically, when they say that, I tell them I'm going to pray for them. And that just destroys their worldview. And they think, why would you ever pray for me? And it gives me the chance to tell them because you're never going to find peace. You're never going to find love. You're never going to find forgiveness through Islam. And then the conversations will go on for days, sometimes weeks, even months.
But and these are the things they're really longing for,
absolutely.
Peace, love, and forgiveness.
Yeah, these are the things that they're definitely searching for. And that's why the love of Jesus Christ is so, so powerful to these people.
I'd like to talk about some of the circumstances that you've experienced. I mean, you actually have had a terrorist who threatened you for quite some time have a life-changing experience. Tell us about what took place.
Yes. I had a guy that he showed up on my social media page. I had just posted John chapter 10, verse 30, 31, speaking of Jesus being God. And As I had just posted that, I mentioned to my wife, I said, watch this. She was looking over my shoulder. I said, watch this. In 5 minutes, I'm going to have about 5 death threats. And they started coming in. And I looked at one in particular, and here was a guy that, the threat was the same. It's always about the same. And they say they're going to do things to my family and to myself and not to my wife. But anyways, as I was looking at that, I realized that I knew his last name. And his entire extended family had come to Christ in our living room. And so if there was one guy who could actually connect, he was the one, although he was in a different country at the time. And he spent a year and a half trying to hunt me down, and it was daily death threats for a year and a half. And one day he just disappeared, and I wondered what happened to his death threat. And I looked, and he was still coming to my site, but the threats weren't there. And about a month later, I went back to his site, and I was checking him out, and he had been in a war-torn area, and he had been beheading people. He had a knife in his hands. He was covered with blood and had a severed head by his feet, and he was proclaiming death to the infidels. And I'll be honest, my prayers for him skyrocketed at that point, too, because, one, I knew that he could find me if he was really searching, and, two, he would actually carry it out. And about a month later, I still hadn't heard anything from him, but he had been visiting my site, leaving a footprint. And so I went back to his site to see what was going on with Murat. And he had been reposting portions of scripture that I had put up about Jesus being the Son of God.
Wow.
And I saw that, and I realized, he's on the verge. So I called him, and I said, Murat, what's going on? Have you trusted in my Jesus? He said, almost. And I said, hang on, I'm sending help. And long story short, two of our national men that live in the same region, in fact, the same village that he was in, they went to his doorstep And 30 minutes later, shot me a text message, and his life had been changed for all eternity.
Praise God.
This man is now evangelizing, also online. He's still in contact with me on a daily basis. I met him personally about a year after that, and I was teaching on the book of Daniel, and I'd been searching for him. I couldn't find him, but God knows where everyone is at. And I'd been asking God to lead me to him or him to me. And the doors opened on the other side of the auditorium. He walked in, and I stepped out from behind that pulpit. And he came running, gave me the biggest bear hug of my life, and began to weep on my shoulders. And he said, "Please forgive me for the things I had said, all the wicked things I said I was going to do to your family." He said, "Please understand that wasn't even me speaking. It was the wicked spirit within me." He said, "I want you to know that you're my brother in Christ, and I love you more than I love my own life. I would give my life for you because you loved me and stepped out to show me the love of Jesus."
Wow.
Oh, very, very powerful. I'm reminded.
And this is after he threatened you for a year and a half.
Year and a half.
And not only to you, but your family. He has one that had committed beheadings.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And just a life that's been changed. Just beautiful.
Tell us also about a mullah who had threatened your men.
Yeah, actually, well, he was one of the guys who was teaching in the mosque, and he came to Christ. But there have been many others. The one I would like to share, I guess, would be in my current location. There was a mullah who was he was sending people to threaten our church plant and create problems in their lives and with their families. And he showed up on my doorstep the first day we moved in, or the first month that we had moved into the country. And I had no idea who this guy was. And I brought him in, and we sat down. We're drinking a cup of really good coffee. And I knew he wouldn't like it, but he sat down and he barely drank the coffee. And as I was talking with him, I was sharing the gospel, and he started to get very upset. And I don't want to make them angry. I never waste time arguing with a Muslim, because I've got 5 million others in the country that I can turn around and talk to. So there's no point in making them angry. When they get to that point, I always just back away, and then before we leave, I throw one last dig at them. And that's usually, "You're going to remember this conversation for all eternity because you were offered salvation in Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation, and you openly rejected him." And I am always sure to tell them that this thought is going to go through your mind for all eternity unless you come back and repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. They get very angry at that conversation, but I want to be very clear with them. And as he was getting ready to leave, I handed him an MP3 player with the gospel presentation and audio New Testament. And I didn't see this man again for 6 months. 6 months later, he showed up in a service, and we had moved our service around to keep it out of the eyes of the government. And he showed up in the service, and at the end of the message, he asked me, he said, "Could I say something?" I said, "Sure." He said, I left the mosque for the last time on Friday. He said, "I've been studying the Quran side by side with the New Testament for the last 6 months, and the differences I have seen is light and darkness, life and death." He said, "I came searching for you today to see if what you teach and preach is what I have read in the New Testament." He said, "I walked into this room, and I was devastated by the thought that I had wasted my life and missed the truth." Hmm. And at that point, he fell to his knees and accepted Christ as Savior, asking forgiveness for having rejected Jesus as the Son of God. And it was only even a year later, he was on the point of being baptized. And I was meeting with him, and I said, "You know, I've known you for a long time, but I really don't know you." And that's when he opened up, and he said, "Well, here's my story." And he said, "You remember the day I said I left the mosque for the last time?" I said, "Yes, very well." And he said, "Do you know what that meant?" I said, "Yeah, you weren't going back to the mosque." And he said, "No, you don't get it." He said, "I was the mullah who was creating the problems for your people, for your church plant, for your church group." Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it just opened up, and I realized who this guy was. And it's great. Sometimes God keeps you in the dark, and he keeps your preconceived ideas about people away from what he wants to accomplish in their lives. He came to Christ, and at his baptism, he sat there and he explained, and he was a very rich man. He had land, he had a following in the mosque, he had sheep and herds, and he lost it all when he came to Christ. And he said, I found the pearl of great price.
Wow.
He said, I would do this 100 times over because Jesus Christ has filled that void in my life. And he is a very strong member of our group right now.
Folks, we praise the Lord, and this is why we invited Jakob onto our program here today to share that you can understand that even though we hear the terror threats of Islam take place around the world, we know the goals for a world caliphate to take place, yet God is at work in the Islamic world, and Muslims are coming to know Christ as Savior. You've actually had a number of people, Jakob, who have vowed, and this was some years ago, before Ramadan, to see your life taken.
Yes. There was a group of 11 Wahhabis who were actively trying to hunt me down. And that came about basically because we were using a satellite television station to post sermons in a particular language of Central Asia. And on the bottom of the screen, we had a telephone number, and I carried that phone. And I kind of laughingly called it my phone of death because most of my phone calls were going to find you, we're going to kill you, we're going to blow up your studio, and you know, it goes on and on. But there were some that were that would call in and just be in tears because they came to Christ through that program. Yeah. Well, anyways, these 11 guys, they had been calling me on a daily basis, and then they found me online, and they actually started showing me pictures with geotags showing that they were hunting me down. They knew I was in a certain city, and they were getting closer and closer. And one day they posted, and they were two roads away from my house. And my wife and I sat down, and we began to talk, and we wondered, did they really find me? Because they said they found me. And we didn't know, should we leave, should we stay? And we prayed, and God gave us complete peace. And all the time, we've been attacked a lot of times, but we've always walked away unscathed. And we decided that God would protect, and we did not leave. And I went out to get some bread one night at 9 o'clock, and these men were sitting on a fence, and they were just two houses down from my house. They saw me, and they said, look, here comes this missionary. Now, when they say that word, that's terrorist is what they're saying. They have books that say that these are terrorists. And in fact, they're teaching their children in school this. And they said, let's get him. And I didn't know what to do, so I thought I'd walk up to him, look him in the face, look him in the eyes, and say, hey, I heard what you said. You have a problem with me. So that's what I did. And they looked at me, and they kind of backed off a little bit. They said, no, everything's fine. I said, well, great. You guys have a good night. And I walked by, and I got my bread.
Tell you what, I think we're going to hold that thought. Let's pick up right after the break. Folks, God's at work, and we're hearing some of the miraculous stories here, testimonies. Jakob Kuznetsov is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Back in just 1 minute on the VCY America Network.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Indeed, God is at work in the Islamic world. With us today is Yakub Kuznetsov, and sharing about witnessing to Muslims, whether it be here in the States or abroad. Also talking about certainly the many, many instances of God's hand of protection, but seeing some who have been very powerful and lifted up in the eyes of the Islamic community to come to surrender themselves to the one who gave their lives for him, referring to people who have come to know Christ as Savior. And Yakub, you were just talking about those who had threatened you were getting closer and closer. And here, as you went about leaving your home one night, saw some individuals sitting there. You heard them use the word missionary. You asked them, you've got a problem with something here? Pick it up from there.
Yeah, so I went and I got my bread and I came back down the road. And these guys had been following me. They followed me out. And everyone on the street knew me because I'd lived there for 6 years. And so they were walking up, closing up their shops, and they were asking how things were going. And as much as they may hate America and hate me, they like the dollar. So that, you know, that gives them some clout when you're frequenting their stores. So anyways, I got my bread and I was coming back, and these guys started following me, and I heard a noise behind me, and I turned to look, and here they had lead pipes in their hands, and they're hitting their hands with the lead pipes. And I'm trying to be an optimist. I thought maybe they're doing some late-night plumbing. But that became very evident very quickly that that wasn't their intention. They started coming quicker towards me. I took off at a quicker pace, and so did they. I started to run, so did they. And I was looking in front of me, and my house was right there. And I thought, there's no way I'm going into my house. My family is there. If I'm going to get killed, I don't want to get killed in front of my children. And I was looking at the street, and there's four lanes of very, very rapid traffic. And I thought, maybe I can cross that road, and maybe a couple of them will get picked off, and I can take care of the others. You know, I'm thinking in the flesh. And as I'm looking at that road, I'm thinking, I'll never get past there. And so at that moment, I just cried out, and it was like the craziest prayer of my life. I said, God, I don't want to be beat tonight. And I'm thinking, what does tonight have to do with it? And as I said those words, I heard their pipes fall and hit the asphalt. And I turned to look because I thought that they had tripped on their robes. Robes and sandals aren't the best for running. And I turned to look, and that wasn't the case. These men had thrown their pipes on the ground. They were running, scared, like I have never seen somebody scared going the other direction. And as I stood there, came back to me that 5 minutes before I walked out my door, a missionary friend of mine had sent me a verse of scripture. It was Psalms 34:7, says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them." And he had sent a message that, "I'm praying for you. I don't know what's going on, but it's something very serious. But this is a verse that came to my mind. God is in control of the situation." And that verse came back to me as I watched those guys run away out of complete fear. And I stood there and I thought, I just saw God's miracle of protection. And as I was reflecting on that verse, I started to shake. And I thought, praise God for His protection.
Amen. Amen. You uttered that prayer, that quick moment of prayer. How important is our prayers for the Muslim world?
Well, I can't stress enough the power of prayer and how that is so needful in not only what we're doing, but just for the sake of the gospel throughout the Muslim world. A great thing to do is take a map and just start praying over that map. And you see a country that ends in stan, you know that that country is Islamic. And you look at the Middle East, and you know that here is the 1040 window stretched throughout there, and these are some of the most unevangelized places in the world, some of the most repressive places in the world, and just pray that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forward, and that God would bless His word, that He would bless those who are trying to share His word throughout those regions, and that the Holy Spirit and that the Father would be drawing these Muslims to Himself.
Also praying for those who are ministering to Muslims.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Certainly we're seeing God at work in the Islamic world, and we'd like to open our phone lines today. If you've got a question of our guest today, Yakub Kuznetsov, your calls are welcome. Maybe you've got a question about witnessing to Muslims. Our phone number here is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Yakub, there's actually a book that has greatly impacted you.
Yes, there's a book, it's called One God, One Message, and that was probably the single most useful book for me when I started to work with the Muslim people. It's written, in fact, you could actually give that book to a Muslim to read, and he would really start thinking, because it lays out their arguments and shoots them down from Scripture. Very, very well thought out book. It's written through the mindset of a Muslim. And it's just been a tremendous value in the ministry.
It's called One God, One Message. And you folks, you can no doubt find a variety of ways to obtain it. One such way is going to this website, ROCK, I-N-T-L. That's abbreviated for international. ROCK International, it's rockintl.org. Click on resources, and there you'll find the book listed, One God, One Message. And that certainly would be a book that you found help here, Yakov, and it certainly would be a help to others as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number to Crosstalk here, 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Glendale, Wisconsin. And Robert, you're on the air.
Well, thank you, Brother Jim. Hello, Brother Yakov. Hey, Brother, are you Israeli by any chance?
No, I am not, but that's where my burden started.
Okay, you were in Israel, and that's when you were first attacked with the rocks?
Yes.
Nomads, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that in your evangelistic presentations to the Muslims, that you're not using the Quran. The word of God is true and every man's a liar, right?
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
Romans 10:17. It doesn't come any other way but the word of God. And I'm very, very glad to hear that. I have a Quran. It's a very good one. It's in English. It was by Yusama Dakdak, and I appreciate what he did. But I use the word of God, too. And I use the word of God because the word of God saved us.
That's right.
Amen.
As you said earlier, and I appreciate that. And I'll be praying for your ministry. I hope there's a way that we can, you know, dialogue with you through either the internet or some other way.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate the call here. And let's go to Newark, Ohio. Catherine, you're on the air.
Yes, if your guest could comment. I heard on the news yesterday that the Pope has gone to several leaders in Muslim countries and has assigned documents stating that we believe in one God. If he could give us more information and explain why that is not correct.
Great. I'm going to have him do that. Thank you. And by the way, we conducted a full program just last week on Crosstalk on this international peace document that was signed between the Pope and also Imam, and you'll find that at crosstalkamerica.com. Thank you for the call. What about, Yakov, this statement, we all worship the same God?
Yeah, well, we knew that has to happen. Scripture tells us that that day is coming where there's one world religion. But
is God of Islam different than the God of the Bible?
Oh, absolutely different. Yes, there's no comparison. When you look at the character of Allah, there is nothing that you can ascribe from His character to our God. The Quran itself says that that Allah is the chief of all deceivers. And there is no way that we can say that our God is a deceiver. He is truth.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Rome, Georgia. And David, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. And I want to thank you for bravely touching subjects that are politically incorrect. I pray for you and pray for God's guidance and protection. My question today has to do with how to reach Muslims for Christ. I agree that we can only love them to Christ. There's no way we can force them or burn the Quran in public to make them become Christians. That will never work.
Yeah.
How can we reach them lovingly?
Well, right. The only way we can do that is by putting ourselves out on a line. We have to get past our own ideas of self-preservation, self-love, and really put ourselves at great risk in our own eyes. And one of the greatest ways is when we have Muslims over to our home all the time, and we'll share a meal with them. Hospitality is incredible over there. They won't kill you as long as they're in your house. As long as you're in their house. It's when you leave, you might have a problem. So, hospitality, when you're in a Muslim's home, you're the king. And so when we show them hospitality, they see that hospitality, but they also see the love of Jesus Christ coming through. And even just, we look at our house as just being the normal average home. But when they walk into our home, they say, this is incredible. There's such a spirit of love and unity and peace in this home. We've never seen it anywhere. Why is this here? And in our eyes, this is just normal. And it's even a bit chaotic in our thinking because our children are young. But this becomes an incredible drawing card to a Muslim. And we always are sure, we don't just reach out to them in love, but we're always sure to give them the gospel at every chance we see them.
Yes, and we have to be careful what not to say, too, because we can deeply offend them and close the door right away.
Oh, absolutely. They ask, what do you think of Muhammad? You say, hey, how about those Packers?
Mm. I do have a question. I've read the Quran through five times, four times in English and one time in Spanish. Now, in English, it was translated by N.J. Dawood. I don't know how trustworthy that translation would be, but I understand from the introduction that he was a Muslim who translated it. And he says in one place that Muhammad had to work very hard for forgiveness of his sins. And in other places, it says Jesus had no sin. Jesus was sinless. So my question would be, which is the greater prophet, the one who had no sins or the one who had to work very hard for forgiveness of his sins?
Right. I always try to just keep steering them back towards Scripture rather than arguing who is greater. And in fact, I always I try to say that God or that Jesus was much more than a prophet. But keep directing them right back to Scripture. That's our power.
Thank you, David.
Hey, thank you very much.
Appreciate your call here today on Crosstalk. We're just seconds from a break here, so we'll be taking that break and coming right back to phone calls here on Crosstalk. Yakub Kuznetsov is our guest here today on the program and talking about his ministry and Muslim evangelism for a number of years. Again, this is an alias being used today in order to protect his ministry and the outreach that is very active as we speak. So we'll be back in just 1 minute with more of your calls here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Well, we're seeing the rise of anti-Semitism in America and around the world. And the Bible said this would occur, but the Bible also condemns it. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 12, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. We're seeing history repeat itself. We're seeing church denominations embracing isms that were embraced by those denominations that dissolved their denominations and united under the Reich Bishop, handpicked by Adolf Hitler. The isms they were embracing then included such things as existentialism, subjective truth. They embraced things like romanticism, the worship of nature, Darwinianism, evolutionism, another word for it, and of course socialism. Today, in the false church in America, we're seeing predominantly people embrace social justice. That's socialism, environmentalism, Darwinian evolution, and replacement theology, which at its root is anti-Semitic. It seems as though history is repeating itself.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and I trust today's program is an encouragement to you to see that God indeed is at work in the Islamic world. Yakub Kunetsov is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're going right back to the phone lines. Pensacola,
hi.
Florida. Julie, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is about the Muslims that are here in this country, in America, that are running for offices, like in the Congress, and they're wanting to change our country to mm-hmm. their way. What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you.
Well, yeah, that's a very serious issue. And the first thoughts that come to my mind is, as believers here and citizens of America, we have to be very careful that our Christianity does not become a political statement, because Islam is first and foremost a political movement wanting to take over the world. As believers in Jesus Christ, our first thing that we need to do to try to stop this march forward of Islam within Congress and all of our really all of politics should be evangelism. When we see the Muslim world on their knees before Jesus Christ rather than the false god of Allah, then everything else begins to fall into order as well.
Thank you for the call, Julie. We have Ma'am calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Hi, Ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, Ma'am, turn off your radio, please. Just listen to the phone.
Yes. I'm just driving to work. My name is Ma'am. I'm from South Sudan and live in an Islamic country. So I have a document. I just have a question about this document signed by the Pope and an imam. Mm-hmm. As far as I really know Islam, there's nothing called those imams. I think they just wanted their own benefit. But that's who are the important people in Islam. That's a Mufti. Maybe my brother there, who he knows that. Why did the Pope just let himself to be fooled and then say he signed documents by Imam? Those Imam, I don't think they are not legitimate. So they have to target it like Mufti of Riyadh or Al-Azhar, and those are the people. And I'm sure they will never agree to sign any document with a Christian because they don't believe.
Well,
so what do you think about that,
sir? Sure. Well, and if I want to do two things. Number one, we spent a full program on this last week, ma'am, and if you go to crosstalkamerica.com, you can re-listen to that program where we spend solely on that document and what's going on there. But the guest also pointed out the many similarities between Islam and Roman Catholicism that I think you'll find vitally important as well. But that brings, and thank you for the call, that brings a greater question here, Jakob, and that is just dealing with the whole aspect of interfaith dialogue, and there is much of this taking place between Islam, Roman Catholicism, and other religions as well. I mean, here we saw, Chrislam, so to speak, be born with Rick Warren and others in these so-called documents here. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's definitely a mess out there. As far as
interfaith dialogue a good thing?
No, there's nothing good going to come of that. I think what we need to be doing is we need to be showing, demonstrating, and proclaiming what a true believer in Jesus Christ is, because this is what a Muslim has never seen. They have seen people who claim to be Christians, but Christian as a whole has been the name Christian has been hijacked by religion. Religion is man's attempt to approach a holy God, whereas true Christianity is faith with a living Savior. And so we have to be careful to draw that distinction. Muslims have rarely ever seen a true believer in Jesus Christ, and that's what they must be faced with. When they're faced with just cultural Christians, there's not a whole lot of difference between that and Islam.
We have Bob calling from West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Bob.
Yes, hello. I've went out many times where the Muslims are at with my friends, Christian friends, and we've talked to them, walked into the... If they had a meeting place, we walked into them, ministered to them, and it's very easy. I just recommend this. You have to be nice, walk in and say, hi, how are you? And then get in a conversation, and we start, telling them what we believe and our Christian faith to them. And they take it very easy, and we never had any trouble while we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. I'd recommend other people do it, too.
Thank you, Bob. And let's squeeze one last call in from Lancaster, Ohio. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Quick question. What are your thoughts on dreams and visions? I hear stories today of Muslims who are saved through dreams and visions. Do you believe God works that way?
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, great question. We see it all the time, basically. We hear about it all the time. I have personally interviewed hundreds of former Muslims who, you know, some of them actually had the books written about them on this topic. And what I have found is that in every instance, there has been some evangelist, some person who had taken the gospel to that person or given them a Bible, and they have sat and read that Bible for 24 hours straight before falling asleep. And let me pose this question to you. If you've planted potatoes for all day long and you go to sleep, what are you dreaming about? You're dreaming you're still planting potatoes. And so this is what we're seeing happening, is these people are searching. If you are truly seeking Christ, you'll find him. And so are they having dreams? I don't doubt that they are. And here's the other nuance, is that Muslims have a tremendous bent towards dreams and visions, to the point where they'll have a dream and they'll name their child Dolphin because they dreamed about a dolphin jumping out of the sea. And so when they have a dream about Jesus, that gives them an extra push that, hey, maybe this is the right way. Do they come to Christ because of that? No, they come to Christ because of a desire to realize that they have a need for a Savior, and they come to Christ when they accept him as Savior, not because of a dream.
And that's because of the seed that's been sown.
The seed that's been sown, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call here. We're down to just 30 seconds. Jakob, what do you want to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the need for prayer. We need the prayers of God's people. And pray for those who are ministering in the Muslim world. There are a lot of missionaries in the Muslim world. Unfortunately, the majority of them set up their own missionary slums. They don't leave the immediate neighborhood of missionaries that they've set up. And so pray that they would have boldness to go forth and to speak the gospel as they should. Pray that they would have safety, but by all means that they would be sharing the word of God.
As the Apostle Paul prayed for that open door for the gospel to go forth. Jakob, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
And friends, I trust today's program again an encouragement to see that God is at work in the Islamic world, an encouragement to be a witness to Muslims, as well as to pray for those engaged in active ministry. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.